Over the next several weeks, we're going to be taking a break from our study in John to look into the core values that we uphold as a congregation and begin to ask and answer the question, why do we do what we do? Our core values are an unwavering guide that lead us to fulfill God's purpose as a congregation. Study along with us.
For some time, I've been sensing the need, and I'm sure some of you have been as well, to kind of take a break from John for a little bit and pull back and maybe cover some other territory in the scriptures as a body, and giving us a little breath from the in-depth study and maybe change our mental focus just a little bit and put it on something of similar significance. So today we're going to begin to take that breath just a little bit and start something new for several weeks, okay? And it's a good time to do so in John. We finished the public ministry through the end of John chapter 12, and when we return to the study, we'll go into John chapter 13 and very private ministry between him and his disciples in his last hours on this earth. So every week when we come in here on Sunday mornings around 9:30-ish, some of us, we can expect for the most part what will be happening for the next couple of hours. For the most part. It doesn't take long to catch on at any church or our church in any given service what we're going to be doing. Although I do throw a wrench into the gears every now and then just to throw you guys off a little bit. And as we engage in various aspects of what we call our worship service, we begin to ponder and analyze and wonder and think about what goes on in each service and why we do these things maybe. We notice the songs that really impact us, or maybe the ones that we could take or leave. We notice whether fellowship time was really busy or really quiet, or whether it was long or whether it was short that day. We listen to each other's prayer requests, hurts, and even times complaints. We try to engage with the message and realize its significance for our life and try to apply it and understand it the best that we can. Sometimes we struggle to get anything out of service. Meanwhile, others, it seems like, could be here all afternoon and not care. There are so many things that we think about as we go through service after service. And all these things and many more run through our minds. And in the midst of the pondering, in the midst of evaluating, there's one question that rarely gets asked. One question that rarely comes to mind in any real service. Why are we doing what we are doing? Why do we devote these times to these specific things? What is the purpose behind what we are doing? I mean, we're real quick, a lot of, wow, I really like that song, or Chad was really long-winded today, or I didn't understand a single thing he said, or wow, I never thought about it like that before. Prayer time was powerful, or no one spoke up during prayer time. No one went out to fellowship. It was just the kids. And we think about these things, but very, very few times do we ask why. Why do we do the things that we do as the Church of New Hope? Why do we do these? Now, some of you, especially those of you who have come here within the last year or two, will recognize this card. You will recognize this card. Either it's been given to you, or you've seen it out on the welcome table as soon as you walk in the front door. It's across the foyer from you. Now, many of you, especially those who've been here recently, we hand them out in a welcome packet to every new person that walks through the door. If you didn't get yours, you need to get them. We might have dropped the ball on that. I was thinking about that this morning. Like, I'm going to talk about this, but I'll bet no one gave them. So, most of you will have received this card. Does anybody know what this card is? Anybody know what it is? How many of you have seen this card before? Okay, you've seen this card. Step one, you've seen this card. Take a guess as to what this card is. We give it to everybody new. It's an information card that goes in our welcome packet to let new people know who we are, right? It's interesting. Do you know what's on this card? My name's on there? How did that get in there? Do Do you know what's on this card? Ooh, I did not expect that. I understand that. There are five small words in white on the front of this card. Worship, word, prayer, fellowship, and outreach. Bobby just told you what they are. What are those? Our core values. These represent our core values as a congregation. Now, if you continue to read this card, you begin to realize that it speaks about more than just our core values and about our purpose and our mission. It says that our purpose is to live out the gospel of Jesus, to live it out in such a way that transforms skeptics into believers. Believers into disciples, renewing the world around them by the power of God. Now, is that just a fancy slogan so that we all can get on board? What is the point behind that vision? That is our purpose as a congregation. That is why we exist. And for many of you, you wouldn't even know the content on this card. And so I want to challenge you to be thinking along these lines. If you don't have one of these, if you haven't read this thing, after service, I want you to go out and grab one. I want you to take it home. I want you to use it as a bookmark in your Bible or your favorite book. Trick question, they should be the same. And begin to identify what's on here, because we're going to be discussing over the next several weeks why that's on here. These core values represent who we are, or at least who we say we should be as a body. You see, the words in the card are more than coined phrases aimed at attracting the right people or the right crowd so we can be a successful church. The words correctly represent why New Hope exists, what New Hope is about, or at least what New Hope should be about. So that means that our mission as a body should drive everything that we do and everything we choose not to do as well. Our mission informs our doing and being. And there are certain core values that we hold high that not just enable us, but should be part of our very fabric as a body. And so that's what's intended by the meaning core values. They are part of who we are, our very existence. And so those core values are our guiding principles that dictate what we do and even how we do it. Core values can help us to know right from wrong and help us as a congregation to know if we're on the right path to accomplishing our mission. That's what those core values do. They help guide us. They create unwavering, unchanging guides to get us and keep us on task to fulfilling God's purpose as a congregation. Now, Miss Joan, do you have those handouts? Okay. There are handouts coming around. If you don't have them already, they will be coming to you that show you real quickly on a one-page document what our core values are. These were defined by us as a congregation and are continuing to be defined as we continue to be a congregation moving forward. But I want you to see them. Today we're going to touch on them very briefly. We're just going to touch on what are these core values that we say define us and why. Because when you come to be a part of the congregation at New Hope, you should be able to see and understand very clearly the whys behind the whats. Are you tracking with me? You understanding? Yes? We're really quiet. For us to understand our purpose, to understand what drives us as a body, is important for us to fulfill that mission so that we're not haphazardly aiming in the dark, but we are spending time, resources, people on the things of God that He's calling us to do. So, our mission is to see those lives transformed through the power of God. The vision that makes that possible is to live out the gospel of Jesus in such a way that transforms skeptics into believers. What does that mean? People see something in your life that helps them grasp, I don't have it, and they do, and I want it. Skeptics into believers. But then it transformed believers into disciples. What does that mean? I can have mental assent. I can say, I agree with. I can attend church here. I can do these functions, but that doesn't mean that I'm growing. That doesn't mean that I'm maturing. That doesn't mean I'm being a disciple. It just means I'm being a follower. We transform. He transforms through us. Skeptics into believers. Believers into disciples. Renewing the world around them. Transforming the world around them by the power of God in their lives. That's what we're about. That's the kingdom. That's what everything is about in the kingdom. And so this is what God has put on our hearts. And those core values in front of you are the worship of God, the witness of His word in our lives, right? The value of prayer, our connectedness and reliance on Him, the fellowship and community of the body being drawn together in intentional interdependency, togetherness. Everyone is valued. And at the same time, that fuels us reaching out to those that God has placed in our lives. That's what we value. And I would add that there is one key that is missing, and it comes under some of the other categories, but discipleship. Discipleship is the process in which we grow up into Christ. And this is something as a congregation we've just begun to focus on, at least systematically, most recently, that we're saying, you know what? Identifying a process to help people go from a new and young believer and then become more mature as they learn more about Christ and more about the Word and more about the body. We have to be intentional about those things. I have a question. All of you who are small business owners, raise your hand. High enough so everyone can see. Those of you who have been small business owners, put your hands at it with them. Okay, I have a question for you. In business, can you afford to not be strategic and still move forward? Huh? You have to be strategic in moving forward. If you want to move forward, if you want to stay in the exact same spot where you are, don't worry about it. But if you want to move forward, you have to be strategic about what you do. And I would strongly encourage you to think and consider, as the church, we have a similar responsibility to be strategic. We have come to this idea that if we exist, everything that God wants us to do will just attach itself to us. That's how church generally works. Well, we'll just go, be faithful, we'll just worship together, we'll be genuine, and then like the world's just going to run through our doors. Does that work? I got news for you. What would happen if the world did run through our doors? We wouldn't even be ready. Because if we don't establish ourselves in discipleship, how do we know? Let me ask you this question. God asked me this question a couple years ago. How does, if we believe, skeptics into believers, believers into disciples, how does a new skeptic that has become a believer become a mature believer at New Hope? Think about your small businesses. If you're business owners, how do you take a new laborer, someone that you hire for minimum wage or near minimum wage, and you want to groom them to becoming a manager? How does that happen? Is it haphazard or intentional? How does a new believer become a mature disciple at New Hope? There has to be a process, and there has to be people in that process that are invested in making disciples. These core values are part of that. These core values are part of what we say that we're about. In the worship of God, the witness of His word in our lives, praying, relying on His power, His strength, His ability, the fellowship and community of this body, and then that fuels our reaching out. And when I say reaching out, I'm not talking about a Billy Graham event. I'm talking about you being empowered to reach out to your children, your neighbors, your family. I'm not talking about a crusade event, something we put on. That may be part of it, but the reality is that the evangelism of the church does not come through event. It comes through life on life. This is outreach. And this is what we say that we're about. Now, worship is often thought of in the church context as singing songs before God. Would you agree? Don't be afraid. I'm not saying that's a right view. I'm saying this is commonly how it's thought of. Singing songs before God. But Paul says something different. He says that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. And that is our spiritual worship. So how does that translate? It means that actually, done in the right motive, in the right way, anything, if we are offering ourselves, can be considered worship. Singing songs is just one outward expression of an inward heart condition. One. We devote ourselves to the worship of God Almighty. Now see, the value of worship is characterized by this. Revelation 4:8-11. Each of these living creatures had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." Worship is the acknowledgement of who God is and who we are not. And this is one of our values. The word, the written word, has been preserved for us centuries. Century after century, it's been passed down, it's been translated. We live in a time where the word is more accessible than it ever has been before, and yet we are largely still ignorant of what it says, of what it means, and how to live it out. And we live in a time where everything about everything related to the scriptures is available like that, on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. Not even just books. There are millions of books that are written, but we have access to those books in our pockets, and yet we are still largely ignorant. And when I say we, I'm talking about the church in general. I'm not talking we as in New Hope. You're ignorant. That's not what I mean. I want us to understand. We have said that the value of God's word is worth saying we're going to build our lives on that. But there's more than just the word. There is the living word. Jesus says, the scripture says that Jesus is that living word. And Jesus says that we are to abide in him. And if we let his words abide in us, we will have life. Now don't mistake that. It's not life later. Eternal life is relationship with him now. And he says, if you abide in my words and my words abide in you, you will have life now. We have said this is a value. We build our lives on the written word and relationship with the living word. This is a value that we hold to. And the value of the written word is illustrated by Psalm 119. Where it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." The value of the written word is indispensable. And the value of the living word, Jesus himself, in the famous verses in John 15:4-5, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Prayer. we've said that prayer is one of the values that we esteem. One of the things that defines us is prayer. What does that mean? Too often, prayer is thought of as a means of getting what we want out of God. Is it not? Historically, is it not? That we pray, we have this list, and we ask for these things. Again, I'm not saying this is right. I'm saying historically what has happened. But in reality, prayer at its core is not getting from God. It's getting God. It's getting more of Him. It's part of that relational aspect of communicating with Him. He does tell us and command us, yes, to ask. But that only comes from the position of knowing who we're talking to. And if you don't know who you're talking to, how are you asking? You ever walk up to a perfect stranger on the street and say, give me $50? Why? Today, that would probably be considered a robbery. Right? If you walk up to a perfect stranger, give me $50. Be like, take it all, man. I don't care. And then they'd be going to the police station. And yet we do that with God. We spend absolutely, again, I'm generalizing, please understand this. We spend very little time in relationship with God. And then in our moment of need, we go run, please give me. And prayer is intended to be that sweet relationship. It's communication. It's the way that we know more of Him and He reveals Himself. He actually reveals His heart in us and reveals our heart to Him. That's what prayer is about, and the value of prayer. From Hebrews 10:19, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, the writer to Hebrews makes the point of telling us that prayer is about us entering in. He makes a point of telling us, he's writing to the Jews, that there is a way that is open where we no longer need sacrifice because the ultimate sacrifice was already offered. And the new and living way through the body of Christ has been open. As the curtain was torn, so was His flesh. And now we can walk boldly with confidence before the throne of grace. And B, that wasn't possible before. But it is now, the new and living way. And so prayer isn't as much about getting from God, but getting more of God. We say this is a value. This is a value. We talk about fellowship and community. It's in our very name. This place is called New Hope Fellowship. And there are things that we do intentionally to promote that fellowship. God designed us. He designed humanity for relationship with one another and relationship with Him. There are two differences in the way that works, though. God designed us for complete dependence on Him, like Susie had brought out earlier, the only man that's leading me, complete dependence on Him, but at the same time, as the body of Christ, He designed us for complete interdependence on one another. We are to be gathered together, gathered and gifted together for His purpose. And all of us have purpose. All of us have value in the construct of church. There isn't one here that does and two over here that do. All of us together, He created us to be interdependent on one another. Paul makes reference to this over and over again, most commonly in 1 Corinthians 12, where he calls the church a body. He compares it to a physical body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or the hand to the foot, because I'm not a foot, I don't belong. No. Every single part is valued, gathered and gifted for His purpose. Fellowship and community. We are to be and are intentional about what that means. This is why we break every single Sunday to be in fellowship with one another. It's not about the food. It's all about each other and spending time investing in one another. Now, the value of the body through fellowship is described so clearly in Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is what we value. Outreach. Jesus' parting words to his disciples were far from ambiguous. In Matthew 28, he sends them. He says, listen, go. Go into all the world, everywhere. Make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to understand, know, and obey everything that I have taught you. This is your purpose. Go be that light in the world. Go be that salt where there is no saltiness. You see, there's so many Christians who want to follow God only in the light, and they refuse to go into the dark. Someone told me this a long, long time ago, and I've never lost it. I grew up in a culture, a church culture, where alcohol was always wrong, no matter what. Period. And someone that I respected very highly at the time said to me, if this is the case, then how do the people who will never leave the bar and never enter the church hear about Christ? We are told, we are commanded to go. We are commanded to take the message with us wherever we go, whether that is our family, whether that is our coworkers, whether that's through an event, but most likely it is intended to be through your life with another life. We are commanded to reach out to those around us. This means that we live out a relationship with Christ in such a way that causes others to ask, why? What's that about? What's going on here? Why do you do this? Why are you this way? What is different? It means we make the communication of the gospel among those who don't know it yet a priority. Now, here's something I've noticed. I've been in ministry since 2005. I grew up in the church, literally, from a baby up. I've always been in a church context. Christians really, really, really like spending time with other Christians. Really like spending time with other Christians and feel like a fish out of water if they are with non-Christians. We have to break that. If outreach is a value, the people who are not yet believers are not going to hear if you're as separate as that floor right there. They're over there, you're over here. Boy, I hope they see something. We are commanded to go, and that means we value reaching out to those around us. And the command to reach out to those is exemplified in Matthew 28. Go therefore. Listen, this is the New Living Translation. I love this translation in this verse. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I will be with you as you do this, day after day, right up to the end of the age. We have said and are saying this is part of who we are. This is a value that we hold high. And lastly, what I've added in discipleship, the reality that we are to grow up in Him. It's the process of growing up in faith and something that is to be a natural part of walking with Christ in the community of His church. Discipleship should be happening. Multiple times in the scriptures we're commanded to grow spiritually, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. And the scripture contrasts those who are growing with those who aren't, those who are after the milk and those who are after the solid food. It contrasts. The writer of Hebrews even rebukes his audience, saying, we don't need to revisit the elemental doctrines of Christ again. We need to move on to bigger, more important, mature things. We are to be growing up in Christ. God has specifically given leadership to the church for this purpose, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. We're given the example in Titus that older men are to help build up and encourage younger men, and older women are to help build up and encourage younger women, this idea of partnership and coming together and helping us all to grow in Christ. And we're commanded to let His Word dwell in us so that we can teach and admonish one another in faith. Discipleship, as exemplified in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Listen, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the fullness, the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, we have said and we have declared, at least those first five, as a body, these are what define us. These are what we value. These are why we do what we do every single Sunday morning and every other day of the week. That is why we do what we do. And over the next several weeks, I don't know how long, because I don't have it all planned out, and God hasn't shown me every little nook and cranny and path that we're supposed to take along this road. But over the next several weeks, we're going to spend time understanding and identifying what is it that we value about worship? Why should we? Why should this be part of our makeup and the Word? What does it mean for us to have this dual purpose of the witness of the written Word in our lives in relationship with the living Word? What does it mean for us to have emphasis on prayer and fellowship and outreach? And what does it mean for us to be a congregation that disciples one another? What is the point and purpose in all of that? And so I would challenge you guys, spend time in this. Spend time looking it up. Spend time studying yourself. You know, as we always do, we want to grow together as a body. This isn't my monologue, so you have to listen, and I feel better because my sermon's over. It has nothing to do with that. This has to do with us growing up. I've been assigned with this task and this responsibility. And I've said to you for years, we're either going to become a multiplying, discipling church or you're going to fire me. I'm in it. I'm willing to be fired. But seriously, why do we value these things? Why do we do what we do? That's what I want you to be thinking about. I want you to be praying about that and thinking about that over the next several weeks. Next week, come in ready and prepared. We're going to dig into worship, and we're going to begin to discover all those facets, wherever God leads, the different facets of why worship is a value to us as His body. What does that mean? What does worship mean? I can tell you right now, it doesn't mean singing songs. I can tell you right now, it doesn't mean moving your lips and making a mouth with your throat to everyone else is doing it. No, worship is a condition of the heart long before it's words out of your mouth. And we're going to spend time digging into that next week. All right? Let me pray for us just for a minute. God, to seal His purpose in that and sanctify whatever. If there's something I said that wasn't to be, we're going to trust His will in that. Father God, I want to thank You for today. I want to thank You for a short amount of time that we can take right now just to realize that we have been purposed, that we need to realize and walk in that purpose and live in such a way that Your kingdom unfolds. I pray that in doing so, this wouldn't be about our performance. This wouldn't be a way of saying, look what we made happen. But it would be a way of us saying, God, we want to get on board with what You want for us and with what You're doing. And if You lead, we will follow. So I pray for that purpose and that plan to unfold over the next several weeks as we devote ourselves here to study in these values that we've said, these are important. Jesus, I pray that You would seal in Your word and Your purpose as we discussed today, that every single person that has heard this word, that you would not let it go from them, but their hearts would be that good soil, and that You would help them to meditate on that and to stew on that and to think on that. God, that You would bring about Your fruit, Your crop, Your process in the midst of it. Holy Spirit, I pray and I thank You for the gift of Yourself in our midst today, in our true worship, in our gathered fellowship, the time in Your word and prayer. And Father, I pray that as we go from this place, we would go not with no purpose or ill purpose, but we would go with the understanding that we are Your salt and Your light. whether it's to our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, people we don't even know or like, we would choose to love them through the gospel and share it with them. Jesus, it's in your name I ask by faith. Amen.
If today is your first time listening along with us, please take time to visit our website at www.newhopefellowshipocp.org. Or better yet, come and see us in person at 6436 Nittany Valley Drive in Mill Hall on Route 64. Thank you for listening along with us. We look forward to meeting you. Be blessed.